This verse of scripture that I've just read to you is very, very encouraging, but the time at which it was given was not an encouraging time. Anything but. Parents, have you ever had an experience like this? I'm going to describe a couple of experiences and ask the parents, have you ever gone through something like this? You trusted your children. You left them on their own for a short time, thinking that they would be sensible enough and mature enough to behave themselves while you were absent. You thought, they'll keep the rules. They know what's expected of them. But then you came home, and you discovered that you were wrong, and that they had got up to things that were wrong, and things that they knew would really upset you. I mean, we've all heard of parents going away for a couple of days and coming home only to discover that their house had been used as some sort of party house. And wow, that wasn't supposed to happen. Or maybe you've gone away and left a teenage son about the house or about the farm or whatever. And you've come home and maybe days later you heard, he took the car out when we were away. And he was down that road showing off to his friends and acting the clown. That's bad enough. But he's only 15 years of age and he's got no driving license and no insurance. Shouldn't have been there breaking the law. I mean, that has happened. You know, you trusted them while you were away. But you realise when you came back, oh dear, shouldn't have trusted them. Well, see those illustrations I've just given you. I hope that they help you understand how the Lord felt and how Moses felt at this time, Exodus 33. You see, Moses had only been away from the camp of Israel for a few days. Just a few days. He's up on Mount Sinai, receiving the commandments from the Lord. The people down below became impatient while Moses was away, wondering what had become of him. And they then go to Aaron and persuade Aaron to make a golden calf. And they start to worship this calf. This all happened when Moses was away from the camp. And when Moses came back and he saw what they had been up to, Moses was grieved. In chapter 32, if you glance at it, the previous chapter, verses 19 and 20, we read, "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf." What a sight. First thing Moses saw coming down from Sinai, he saw the calf. How that man's heart was broken. And when he saw the calf, then the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. He's only away for a few days. And they fell into idolatry. Well, the Lord judged the Israelites. About 3,000 men were slain that day. And Moses hardly knew what way to turn because of these events. He needed the Lord to confirm to him that it was still God's will to lead the children of Israel to the promised land. And he needed to know that God would be with him in carrying out the task. He needed to know these things. He needed the Lord to speak to him again to confirm God's will to him. Now this did happen. Exodus 33, I want to read to you verses 13 and 14. "Now therefore I pray thee, If I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, that's the Lord, back to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. You see, Moses had been devastated by what had taken place in the camp of Israel. No matter how strong we are as Christians, we can be shattered and confounded by the things that happen on the journey of life. And you can feel like Moses, you don't know where you are, you're in a tailspin. You can feel like giving up, and quitting seems to be the obvious thing to do when the problems arise. You can end up in a situation where, like Moses, only a word from God will suffice to preserve you in his work and to enable you to continue in his work. Now that's where Moses is right now. And as we face the challenges of serving God, and as the days get darker and the challenges get greater, we will face more and more difficulties and disappointments. And it's always hard in the back of one disappointment when you get another one. You have to keep going. And that's what Moses is trying to do here. Now, I believe that these words are most encouraging for all of God's people. And I want you to be encouraged. I have come here today with this word, Exodus 33:14, with the prayer in my heart, please, Lord, encourage the people in Coleraine through this verse. And if you're not saved, I have to say this to you. The great promises that are in this verse, you're missing out on them. And that's a tragedy. And if you were to come to Christ and get saved, this promise that I'm about to study would be for you as well. You could claim that promise. Because every Christian can claim this promise. And if you get saved, you'll be able to claim it as well. So let's see what's in this verse of Scripture for us today. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. First of all, note the person who made the promise. Because when someone makes a promise, it depends a great deal on who that person is, how much faith you can put in the promise. Isn't that right? We all know people, and they promise you the sun, the moon, and the stars, but you couldn't believe their oath, because they're not going to carry it out. We all know people who talk like that. But that's not the case in our verse of Scripture. Who is the person who made the promise? Well, look at verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. The one who is speaking here is none other than the Lord God. Jehovah. The one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who is without beginning and without end, the one who is all-powerful, who cannot lie, who keeps his word. He is the one who makes this promise to us today. The one who did several things for the Israelites that would have made the statement here in verse 14 all the more significant and all the more personal. Because what had he already done for these people that will back up the strength of this statement? Well, for a start, the one speaking chose these people. From out of all the people in the earth, the Lord chose the Israelites, the Hebrews, to be his people. He didn't choose the Egyptians, or the Hittites, or anyone else. God chose the Israelites. Now what is that? That's the inexplicable electing purpose of God. God chose them. This is what we read in Isaiah 43 verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. God chooses who will be his servant, who will know him, who will believe on him, and who will understand him. That's what Isaiah 43 and 10 tells us. You see, God is almighty, and no one tells the Lord what he should or what he must do. God makes the choices. God chose these people. And he chooses his people to this day. And if you're saved, you can say today, I'm saved because God in love and mercy chose me. I do not deserve to be chosen, but he did it. That's God's electing purpose. The one who made the promise, he chose these people. There's another thing. He called these people. He called them. This is how a sinner is brought into the family of the Lord. It's one thing to be the elect of God, to be chosen. But then the next step is to be actually called into that family. And our God is one who calls, and he called these people into his family. It says in Romans 8 and 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Chosen and called. Predestinated first, and then called. He called them. You know, the Israelites were just like you and me. They had to repent of their sin and believe in the promises of God. They had to do that. They didn't get to heaven because they were born Israelites. Oh no. It was a privilege to be born Israelites, but they had to be called, just like you and me, and given a new heart and a new spirit. They had to know regenerating power from God. They had to experience that. They had to trust the Lord and trust his promises. Trust in the promised Savior who was coming. The same way you and I have to trust the Savior who has already come. They looked forward to Calvary. We look back. We're going to be doing that later on at the communion service. They looked forward by faith in the promises of God. They had to hear the call of God. Chosen and called. They weren't saved because they kept sacrifices. All the blood of bulls and goats cannot save. But those sacrifices pointed to one who could save. And that blood that was shed in the Old Testament pointed to the atoning blood of the Lamb on the cross. These people were chosen. These people were called by God. And not only did the God that made the promise choose them and call them, he had compassion on them. I love that. God has compassion for his people. He had compassion on these people. There was a time when they ended up in great trouble. They were persecuted in Egypt. They became slaves. They died of thirst and hunger and exhaustion and overwork. Oh, they were treated so badly in Egypt. But the Lord cared for them and had compassion upon them when they were going through all of that. Here's what it says in Exodus 3 verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. Listen to this. For I know their sorrows. What a statement. God looked down from heaven and said to Moses concerning his persecuted people in Egypt, it's going to be okay, Moses. Do you know why? because I knew their sorrows. And God was filled with compassion for his people. And the God that we love and preach today always knows when his people are going through trouble and sorrow. He knows, and he feels for us, and he cares for us. He's full of compassion. He knows our sorrows. You know what the Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ? For we have not an high priest, Hebrews 4:15, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The feeling of our infirmities. The Son of God is touched with them. Do you feel infirm today? Do you feel weak? Do you feel under pressure? Are you hurting? Christ feels that with you, and he feels for you. He does. Listen to Hebrews 2:17 and 18. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He's merciful. And he's faithful. And he's been through trials. Do you know what? He helps us with our trials. Because he's been through it all himself. He knows. He loves. He cares. He's full of compassion. No matter what we go through, Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ is full of compassion. Because of his suffering, he understands. Remember that. He's full of compassion. The Lord chose these people. He called these people. He had compassion on these people. As another thing, he conveyed these people. What do I mean by that? Well, in Exodus 3 and verse 8, it says, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians." I was talking there about the trouble they were in Egypt. Persecution. God says, "I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, and a land flowing with milk and honey." You see, when I say the one who made the promise conveyed them, I'm making this point. He conveyed them out of Egypt, where they were suffering all of this persecution, and he would then convey them to the promised land. God had promised to do that. And at this point in time, he is actually in the process of conveying them to the promised land. He had already delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and now he's going to deliver them safely into the promised land. I suppose you could say of the Israelites at this time, they are in transit, moving towards the promised land. And you know, they were in transit then, just like you and I are in transit right now. We are. We have been, if we're saved, delivered from sin by the power of the blood of the Lamb, and now we are being guided through the journey of life until we safely reach heaven. That's basically what it's all about, brothers and sisters. We're just in transit. And the journey will soon be over for all of us. There will be trials along the way, but by the grace of God, we're going to get there, get to heaven. And it's all because of God's amazing grace. I've mentioned to you the person who made the promise. Quickly, the second thing, very quickly. The presence that he promised. Because our verse says, "And he said, my presence shall go with thee." Now, Moses was under great pressure here. Why? Well, he has just witnessed how quickly these people can fall away from the Lord and how great their fall can be. I mean, they turn from following Jehovah one minute to following a golden calf the next. That was devastating for God's servant. It brought all sorts of pressure with it. Moses is probably wondering, how will I succeed in guiding these people on a journey that might take years to get through the wilderness? Whenever you can't turn your back for 5 minutes and look what happens. He's probably really stressed out. How are we going to do this? Now more than ever before, he can see how mammoth a task this is going to be. But the Lord assures Moses, you're not on your own. What are you worried about, Moses? What's your problem? Do you not know my presence shall go with thee? God's presence. Now, Moses had already experienced the presence of the Lord and had proven God's presence. A 24-hour-a-day presence, by the way. Because it says in Exodus 13:21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. So he had already experienced that day and night God was with them, guiding them. Now he's stressed out and he's worried. What's going to happen now? And God says, Moses, dear, dear, have you forgotten so quickly? My presence shall go with thee. Now, Christian, this is the blessing that we enjoy. The Gospel of Matthew, it finishes with these words, chapter 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Folks, the presence of Christ is promised to his people right to the moment he comes back in power and great glory. And he's not just with us sometimes, according to that verse in Matthew, I am with you always. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Now, if the Lord only promised to be with us most of the time, that wouldn't really help us. Sure it wouldn't. Because the next time you and I would have a big trial, we'd be saying, most of the time, I wonder, will he be with me this time or not? You'd never know. It would be a lottery. You wouldn't have a clue. But God's promise is not to be with you most of the time. I am with you always. Last week. Next week. Always. What a wonderful promise. What a brilliant, glorious promise. Is he with you now? Well, another question I'll ask. Are you saved? If you're saved, he's with you now. Because he has promised, I am with you always. So yes, I know he's with you if you're saved. On the basis of that promise. The person who made the promise. The presence that he promised, I am with you. And he is Christian. Finally, the peace that he promised. Because our verse says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So here's the question. Did the Lord keep his promise? He said to Moses, I'll give you rest. I'll give rest to my people. That's my promise. You get on with leading. Take them through the rest of the journey in this wilderness. Get them to the borders of the promised land. And I promise I will give thee rest. Did the Lord keep his promise? Well, the answer to that is quite obvious. Since he always does and he cannot break his promise, he kept it then as well. He did. How do I know that? Would you listen to Joshua 21:44? So they're already right through the wilderness experience, and they have entered the promised land. Remember, Joshua led them in. What does it say in Joshua 21:44? And the Lord gave them rest. The thing that was promised in Exodus 33:14 was completely fulfilled. The word was kept. The promise was kept. The Lord gave them rest round about. Now listen to this. According to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them, the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. The Lord gave them rest according to all that he sware unto their fathers. According to the promise, they achieved rest because God gave it. When God promised it, God delivered it. He kept his word. The Lord did what he said he would do, and God always does that. Now Moses obviously had been concerned. But when you think about it, he shouldn't have been. There was nothing to worry about. Oh, I hold up my hands and I say there are times in my life I've worried too. I don't say that to glory in it. I say it to my shame. To my shame. Because there was nothing to worry about. Absolutely nothing. May the Lord grant you the peace and the rest and the presence of the Lord that is spoken of in this verse. Even when the trials come, remember he'll always be there. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, he'll be with you. It says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Do you want a bit of rest? Maybe you say, you're dead right, I do. Come unto me. That's what Christ says we all need to do. Hebrews 4:9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Are you a child of God? I would assume by looking down upon you, many of you are in that category. You're a redeemed child of God. Well, listen. There's a rest for God's people. Don't forget this promise. God says, my presence goes with my people, and I will give them rest. There's a big storm out there today. There's one of the blinds and it's blowing back and forward in the wind. I can see it. It could be gone tomorrow. Storms come. Storms go. God remains the same. Through the storm and after the storm, he has compassion on his people. May you know and experience that love and that compassion that comes through Christ every day you live. Thank you for listening. We're going to bow together in prayer. Let's seek the Lord's face together, please. Gracious God and loving Father in heaven, I do thank thee today for the precious word of God, for the truth of the word, and for the promises of the word. Yea and amen in Christ. It's a never-failing word. So, gracious Father, I ask thee now to apply this word to all of our hearts. Help us to remember it. Help us to turn it over in our minds. And may we be greatly encouraged through this word. We pray in the Saviour's name. Now may thy grace, mercy and peace be our abiding portion, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.